Hello, hello, and welcome to the Soulfully Strategic Entrepreneurship Podcast. I'm your host, Chrissy Mellinger, a business coach for women who want to make big impact in this world. In this podcast, we will cover the business strategy behind creating aligned, authentic, and empowering service-based businesses. We'll cover the spirituality as well, all the weird, the woo, and the mindset behind showing up as your full self. And of course, we'll discuss female empowerment and embodiment to tap into all of your beautiful magic. We all have so much power, wisdom, and magic to share, but are institutionally taught not to. This podcast is your resource, your opportunity, and your support system to show up fully as the magical creature you are and to love doing it. I'm so excited and honored to be with you today, so let's go ahead and get started. Hello and welcome to the very first Soulfully Strategic Entrepreneurship Podcast guest expert episode. Today we are joined by the amazing Sarah Carlson. Before we get started, I do want to introduce her and all of her magic. Sarah Carlson is a money expert, owner and founder of Love Money Journal. And as if that wasn't enough already, she's also the owner and founder of Fulcrum Financial Group,
Spokane, Washington. Sarah is a thought leader, writer, and financial planner who helps successful people work toward the goal of living their very best lives. Sarah has been a financial planner for 18 years and a wealth management specialist for 28, helping people navigate the many complexities that money can bring to life. Additionally, Sarah is a graduate of Yale University, a certified financial planner, chartered life underwriter, and chartered financial consultant. She is passionate about education, viewing it as a lifelong process. Sarah sees herself as a change agent, helping people prepare for and weather the tumult that life presents and to work toward their objectives through financial planning. Again, as if that wasn't enough, Sarah has two sets of twins and a husband who all help to fuel her with the passion and support to be her very best. She also recently completed writing a book that will air and launch later this year called Facing Financial Fear, 8 Steps to Financial Freedom for Women. So without any further ado, welcome Sarah Carlson. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Chrissy. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I'm so impressed with all that you're doing and the empowerment and good information. You're just really offering some wonderful support for your listeners and viewers.
Thank you so much. We found each other on Instagram and immediately, I think it was like the second voice note I had sent you. I was like, can we please do some kind of something or other? Because you have so much good information. And I think there's so many blocks for people in general, especially female entrepreneurs, when it comes to getting their finances in order. Welcoming in and recognizing and receiving financial abundance. So I know that this is going to be a really powerful conversation.
You are so right. Isn't it interesting? There's many people have so much shame around money, right? And it can be a block when if you can control it, right? There's very few things we can control, but money is one of the things we can control. So if you can put it in its place, then you can have your money serve you versus draining you, right? Yes. So that's a big part of why through my wealth management business, I've been able to see such amazing progress people make in their lives. And it was through my, I couldn't touch enough people. So that's when I started blogging. And then it was, gosh, I had one woman walk in and say, you know what, that blog, she happened to read it on LinkedIn. She said, you wrote it for me. Like you were talking to me. And then it was so it was really impactful for me to think like, oh, I so want to help people. And so I've always been really good with money and systems and organization. That is just, it's a pleasure to be able to touch people that way. And so that's why I came about and wrote Facing Financial Fears, the 8 Steps to Financial Freedom for Women, because I really want to help people.
Oh my goodness. And I think that's awesome when we, in any way, whether you are a coach or an advisor or a healer or a human, just seeing that impact that you can make for other people. It's about helping them as well. So that's such a beautiful story that she came to you and was like, this is for me. This is me.
Right. Well, and she was such a remarkable, well, she is just an amazing person. But what was really interesting about her, I'll call her Allison, is Allison came through, she was going through a lot of change. She had just been through a difficult divorce. She had teenage kids at home. And she said she was paralyzed. Like, she was working a couple jobs. She had this big house. She had this lifestyle. And she really felt proud to have come through the other side and be this provider. But meanwhile, she didn't have time. She didn't have energy. She was really struggling. And so when she came to talk about what was going on in her life, one of the first conversations we had at that meeting was, I told her, you have to sell the house. Mm-hmm. And you would have thought like she physically took a bullet, because as women, our homes, you know, they mean so much, you know, so many of us are house proud. Mm-hmm. And yet sometimes we can let that pride sabotage us in other ways. And so we talked about how if she could possibly downsize into a house that was easier for her to maintain, she'd be able to free up more time, and she wouldn't have to work as hard at two jobs. She could work just at her one job. She's in the medical profession. And that I encouraged her to talk to her teenage kids and see what they thought. Well, we had that first meeting. I was so impressed. Within, I think, a month, she talked to her kids. She had her house, put it up for sale, had located a new place.
Oh my gosh.
It was so impressive. And then what was amazing was, in short order, she was spending so much less on her maintaining the house. She had a much smaller mortgage payment. And as a result, she got to spend more time doing things she loved, which was activities with her kids. She took her kids skiing. She even went on yoga retreats with her daughter. I mean, her life has just blossomed. And it was just all to help her get some systems and get things in line so her money would serve her and so she wouldn't be a slave to it.
Oh my gosh. I think that's the most important thing right there. I know you're going to give us so many more tidbits, but we don't have to play by the rules that are set for us of having the house or the car or the whatever. It's really getting super clear on what do we want, and then having all of our resources, whether it's a business, whether it's our money, they both go hand in hand, really support us. So good on her. Like, she went right in gung ho and made those changes immediately.
She did. And just seeing her life unfold and make space so she can have a new relationship, and she continues to, she's been a client now for a few years and even developed a new business. So her life just continues to grow in incredible ways. But she also, a big thing, Chrissy, is a lot of times people treat their bankers with more respect than they treat themselves, especially women. Mm-hmm. You know, we as women, we tend to take care of our partners, take care of our kids, take care of our bosses, take care of our clients. And we always think there's going to be more time, energy that we can take care of ourselves. And so that's a big thing that I have found, is it really comes down to having healthy boundaries. I believe it's really important that we take care of our own needs first, that you set aside money so you have money for the long term. So when you're at retirement age, you have a nest egg and a future to go towards. And that you also set aside money in the midterm, whether that's a new house, educating your kids, maybe buying a new car, getting out of debt. It's really important to prioritize yourself and understand that, because it's just normal for people to get reactive, mm-hmm. right? And so much of what I help, and through my book, Facing Financial Fears, is I really help the reader. I take the reader on a journey to help them understand how small, simple steps, and I invite the reader to be curious on their own situation, but if you take small, simple steps, you actually change the trajectory of your life. And why not have your money serve you rather than you be a slave to it? And I think, you know, it's really interesting you said, because, you know, so many women get caught up trying to impress others, right? We spend a lot of money impressing people we don't know, and we actually probably, if we knew them, wouldn't even care about their opinion.
Yes.
What's with that, Chrissy?
It's so much, so much institutional. I could go into this forever, but it's the societally taught, institutionalized sense of we have to be of service for everyone else first. And exactly what you said, we think that there is always going to be time or money or energy or something left over that, like, we can figure it out. Whereas we shouldn't be figuring out anything about how to take care of ourselves. Everything else should be figured out. We're like, we need to come first. We can't serve our families or our clients or anyone if we're half missing. Yeah, that's a whole different, like, tangent of topic.
You're absolutely right. Well, think of it. If you're gonna run a marathon, you want to run a marathon. Well, you need to train for it, but also more importantly, you need to fuel yourself, right? Mm-hmm. You need to have some habits that. You're eating appropriately, you're sleeping appropriately, and taking care of yourself so you can endure the marathon, because life is not a sprint, it is a marathon, and things happen.
Absolutely, absolutely. How do we do that? Like, it's great for us to say we need to do this, but how can women actually step up and take care of themselves with their money or things like that?
Well, one of the most important things is to get real about what it is you have. So there's two things. You first of all need to understand what money you have coming in, mm-hmm. whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're working a job 9 to 5, you have to have a clear understanding of where your money is coming in. And you have to understand where it's going. So some people will call it a budget. I don't like that word. It's just cash flow, right? It's like you're just making choices where that money is spent. So, ooh, but you have to get real about it, right? Because mm-hmm. It's so easy to pre-populate your credit cards on, you know, Amazon, push a button. Oh yeah, I need another black skirt, right? Do you really? You have three, you have four in the closet, right? You don't need a black skirt. But if it's there and you're pushing a button and then bing, you know, it's getting charged to your credit card. And then at the end of the month, you're like, how did I spend all that money? First thing is understanding what are your patterns of spending and where is your money going? And then understanding what debt do you have? Do you have debt? A lot of people carry credit card debt. They have student debt. They'll have debt associated with an automobile or a home. And just being clear on how much debt you have, because debt is not created equally. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what your credit card company charges you, but I know if I don't pay my balance off each month, my credit card company will charge me 24% in interest, right? That's crazy.
And it doesn't matter how long you've been with them. Like, that never changes. There's no loyalty.
Exactly. So, and that same bank that charges me 24% for the savings I have in a bank, in a savings account with me, they give me less than half of 1%, right? Mm-hmm. So the big thing is banks make a ton of money off of people miscalculating how much debt they have and not paying it off right away. And so for your young listener, your old listener, listeners of all ages, being really clear on like what debt do you have, and then what is the interest rate on that debt, and then also a clear understanding of what kind of assets you have. So what do I mean by an asset? Well, it could be a savings account. It could be a retirement account. There's different kinds of investment accounts. It could be you own a car. It could be you own, you know, artwork. It could be you own a house. So those are the two fundamental starting blocks. Is first to get a clear understanding of being honest with yourself about where your money is coming in, where it's going. And then the second one is what you have, what you're doing with it. How much debt do you have? What kind of debt it is? And then what's your assets? And then the difference between your assets and your debt is called your net worth. And you probably have heard of that before. Mm-hmm. It gets thrown around. But too many times it's because as women, you know, we're taking care of everyone else. We got to get Billy to school. We got to get married to the doctor. We got to get this proposal out for the client. We got to make sure we return our boss's call. We put off that and we think, you know, I'm going to get clear. I'm going to look at that later tomorrow. And tomorrow becomes a week, becomes a month. And we can really get ourselves in trouble by just kicking the can down the road. So getting real.
Absolutely. So you and I have talked about this, and I've shared this in an earlier podcast episode. My first degree is finance and economics. I love all of this, right? Like I love I'm going to use the word budget for like an overall, but I love budgets and Excel sheets and templates and all that kind of stuff to get you organized. So when you talked about you love this and you've always been good with money, I think that's amazing. And I also think that that's really rare. So for the person listening who's like, I don't want to look at my cash flow. I don't want to know what that looks like. How can they kind of work around some of the fears or the mindset blocks around digging into it and not kicking it down the can, not kicking the can down the road?
Right. Well, you know, one thing that's interesting is if you have a strong reaction to money, I mean, some people think, oh, people that have money, they did something bad to get it. They have a lot of shame or bad feelings associated with money. Well, for those people that have that kind of strong reaction, that usually means like some things in their past that, you know, perhaps they grew up in a household where money was a challenge, you know. Comments like, you know, money doesn't grow on trees and a lot of shame and scarcity mindset. Women in particular, you know, we're kind of, our society has kind of raised us to kind of be the budgeters and take a certain amount and piece it out, right? To be very thoughtful and measured and control it, to conserve it. Whereas society for young males, when they're given money, it's more expected for them to be opportunistic, to invest it and to grow it. I believe Title IX really helps shift that in the culture. Title IX is where the sports for boys and girls, men and women in college had to have equal funding. And what that did is it allowed for girls and women to participate in sports. And the most important thing about sports, I believe, is you learn how to win and you learn how to lose and you learn how to work together. So there's more women now, especially in your generation, like you're considered the young warrior entrepreneurial female. So you have like, you may not have the same level of shame that your mothers or grandmothers may have had. But we still have a long ways to come in terms of building comfort with talking about it, having the conversation. And I believe the way to get from fear to love with your money is being curious about the process and then taking some systematic steps to make a change. It doesn't take a big step to profoundly affect your future. That's what people don't realize, is it's so easy. So like you said, I came from a family that openly talked about money, mm-hmm. and I realize now what a gift that was for me to be in this profession. But I also am very aware that other people are not as comfortable. So when people come in, and I will coach them and help them understand opportunities for their situation, I'm very aware that they have a lot of anxiety. Research has shown us that the only other for people to come in and be honest about their relationship with money and what they have and what they've done, they're just as embarrassed as if they're going to the doctor for the first time, someone they don't know, and they have to get naked.
I would never have thought that the anxiety levels were that close. That's really eye-opening of how, I don't want to use the word trauma, but how much stuff, how many blocks and issues there are around the money portion of it. That's, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, it is. It's fascinating. And also, I mean, I know so many people that have, shared themselves sexually with someone before they'd have a money talk, you know, where that seems so backwards to me.
Yes.
It's real. But so I think talking about it is so important, because your money can serve you. What the most important thing about having good systems with your money is, it ends up becoming a revenue source. And the most interesting thing about creating wealth is it can kick off income that can then supplement the other things you want to do. If you have a lot of debt, well, then you're paying someone else income, right? You're paying interest on that money, and someone else is getting wealthy off you. So
I think you nailed it with the being curious, because when you can come from a place of curiosity, it's non-judgmental. In its nature, it's non-judgmental. So when you're looking at your finances or really anything in life, and you're like, oh, I'm curious why I'm spending, I don't know, $100 on a black skirt when I have a closet full of it, instead of going in with the thought of, oh my gosh, I can't believe that I just did this again, and you start to get more down on yourself. But just, you were talking about the small steps, the small changes that it takes for you to change the trajectory. And the first one of those can be being curious and removing that judgment from it.
Exactly. And so much of what we do subconsciously, you know, so it becomes, what habits are you developing? And you can retrain yourself on habits. For example, there's, you know, shopping therapy. I mean, it's, you know, when you, as women, you know, we go out and being gatherers, there's a certain amount of serotonin that gets released when we're surveying and choosing what to pick. So if you're going out and looking at those black skirts, you know, you're getting a rush. You're getting a payoff, and that payoff then reinforces that habit, right? So one thing, mm-hmm. one and easy, a hack I like to encourage people to think about is, you can get that same rush, and Chrissy, I want you to do this, to tell me if it works okay. for you, is you could go to your closet, and instead of going to the store to look for another black skirt, instead go to your closet and come up with 1, 2, 3 things that no longer serve you, and choose to give them away.
Oh, I love that. And that's perfect timing, because at least on the eastern side of the country, we're going into spring, so I'm literally changing out my clothes this week. I will be using that one. Thank you.
Right. Well, and so by doing that, you'll still get your payoff, right? You want that serotonin hit, but you'll probably be $100 richer, because you'll have $100 that you can maybe go put towards your student loan debt, or perhaps maybe buy your mom some flowers or something, right? You'd have more options with that $100, or open up a Roth account and put it towards your retirement.
I love how you snuck that one in there of like, you could do all of this and you can also prepare for your financial future.
That's right. Well, financial future, it's really important, Chrissy, because as women, we statistically outlive men mm-hmm. by quite a bit. And we also statistically earn less than men for doing the same jobs. It's coming up, but it still lags. And then many times, many of us take time off during taking care of other people, whether our children or our parents. We will leave the workforce in order to take care of others. So we're at a disadvantage, and yet the need for us to take care of ourselves is even greater.
I've been writing notes. I'm a big note taker. I've been writing notes as you keep talking about it, because I think that this is very much a time of women stepping more into their power, stepping more into, I love how you said this is like the warrior entrepreneur generation, because a lot of generations before us have paved the way, right? Like, don't want to discount anything that they've done. But this is also a big revolution time of like, no, we're not going to play by the rules anymore. We're going to start having these conversations of, this is my salary. This is what I spent this week. This is, you know, just telling your friend, like, I can't believe my oil bill went up $100 a month because of what's going on. Normalizing those smaller conversations just makes the whole thing easier. And it also brings the community of women together. So it's not just me trying to do it alone, or you trying to impact the few people that you can impact directly. Which is part, a long way of saying this, I'm so excited for your book, because I feel like that's going to have such a huge ramification and huge consequences.
Thank you. I hope so. It's a book I've worked really hard on, and it will be out this October. In fact, your listeners, if they want to be on the release, information and on the whole rollout, I have a landing page at lovemoneyjournal.com. And I believe I gave you a link, so maybe you can even include that, because your listeners can sign up and they'll be in the first to know. So it will be in hard copy, soft copy, and there'll be a digital format as well. So I'm really excited. So I feel like I've been pregnant with this book my whole life. And it's just so satisfying to finally give birth to this. As you know, I have two sets of twins, right? So I did my business, raised my kids. So it's been baking for a while.
I think that's just so many things, right? As a woman, as a female in finance, in advising, with so much history of knowledge and education and everything that you've done, to then step into the next part of it, of writing this book and putting it out there, like, you're showing what women can do when they take control of their finances and then when they take control of the conversation. So I think just the sheer fact, even if no one goes to the link, which will be in the show notes, the sheer fact that you're presenting what's possible, right? One of the realms of things that's possible is incredible. And I'm excited for your kids to be able to like have you to watch and grow up and do all these things, because that's four more people who are going to be comfortable talking about money and planning about their futures while not feeling like they're giving anything up in the now.
Right. Well, that's so nice. Yes. That'd be my hope. My daughter, I have my children, I have three boys and a girl, and my daughter, she recently told me, which I thought was so, so thoughtful, when she said, "Mom, like, the way you talk about money helps redefine what it is to be feminine."
Yes.
And I was like, yes, you know, like, because money is not masculine. Money is a tool, mm-hmm. and money is very much feminine. And, you know, as women, we owe it to ourselves. You know, it's a real form of self-love when you prioritize yourself, you set money aside, you're thoughtful with those money decisions, because it's pretty delicious when you want to, you know, you want to do something special with your child or your loved one, and you know, you've paid for that adventure, that goal, and you have that money saved up. You're not having to go into debt. I call debt the giant sucking sound, you know. You really get pulled into the vortex. Stay out of the black hole. And it's society makes it really easy to borrow money, but you have to be very thoughtful. Other people's opium, other people's money. You got to stay away from it, right? You got to be very careful how you use it. I mean, to buy a primary house would certainly, most people can't do it without doing that. But in terms of personal debt, you know, being sucked into situation where then suddenly all your income's going towards paying this credit card debt that represents those black skirts from a year ago, that's just a really tough way to be. It's tough to get out of that challenge.
I think I liked how you said being careful and being intentional with the debt that you have. And you also mentioned at the beginning that there are different types of debt. Like it's one thing when you look at debt for education or debt for furthering your career or a home or things like that. And it's a completely different thing when you're like, well, I just really want to go to Paris this weekend. And it doesn't matter, you know, that the flights are $1,500. It's keeping that priority kind of top of mind. So let's say one tip that you have for helping people really stay in it and stay focused on their long-term goals.
The most important thing is to tie it to something emotional. You're more apt to build new habits and stick to a game plan if it's tied to something emotional you want to do. For example, let's say you have credit card debt that you're just drowning in, and maybe you owe $30,000 and you just got a raise and you're up for some bonuses and you've been working hard, and there's a part of you that just wants to increase your debt and take that trip to Paris. Instead, if you could say, okay, if I pay off that credit card debt, $30,000, and systematically, you know, they'll take your money. You can pay into it more than one time a month. You can pay into it weekly if you wanted to. So once you pay it off and then save the money to go to Paris ahead of time, then your reward would be to go to Paris without going into debt, right? So it could be whatever. So if you can tie it to something emotional, that gives meaning. Because yes, you need a future, you need to have retirement, but you also need to enjoy the journey. And so that's why when people will many times ask me, well, how much should I be saving? And at first they're kind of shocked when I tell them, you know, in the perfect world, you'd save 30% of your income. And I believe if you can save 15 for the long-term retirement and 15 for the shorter term, and that shorter term is for those special moments, you getting that car that you need or want, or getting that new condo, those, if you can, because it really comes down to self-respect. If you can learn to love yourself enough that you are worthy of that, it's pretty amazing how people can make things work out. So when I've been doing this my entire career, and every single person that I've told that to, when they first talk about it, their eyes kind of pop and they think, well, that's a lot of money. I can't do that. But the power of suggestion. And so well, let's try 10%. Let's try 5%. You got to start where you're at with what you have and then challenge yourself to add more to it. And every single one of those people that I coached not only did it, but most of those people are financially independent today.
I love that. I completely agree that it is a sign of self-respect. And I love that that's what you said, because whatever we do for ourselves, whether it's taking control of our finances, whether it's setting 10 minutes aside in a house of four kids, a husband, and I think you said you have some creatures who live with you too, setting 10 minutes to just like block out everything else, it's not a selfish thing. It's not this kind of negative connotation, me first mentality. It is very much a sign of self-respect. And I think putting it kind of in that perspective will help women realize I shouldn't come last. I can't come last if everything else is going to happen. So yeah, I just think that that's a really important thing to note, that it's definitely a sign of self-respect.
Yeah. And if you can't show yourself self-respect, how can you expect your kids, your partner, your coworkers, right? Mm-hmm. It really is. It's about having boundaries and getting real about it. Because I have found that, and myself included, I have just as much fun going out to dinner at a nice restaurant as I do having a picnic in a park. In fact, probably the picnic in the park is a little bit more fun because I get to like have everything the way I want it. So it can be, yeah, it's just, we all make choices. And it's not only do the choices we make affect our own future, but the choices of how we shop and make affect all other women and people as well, because the where we choose to purchase as consumers drives how goods and services are provided and delivered. So we're all connected.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. Which is a nice, it's almost counterintuitive, but remembering that you are connected to everyone else can kind of make it harder for you to not uphold those boundaries, because it's no longer like, well, I can just go to Starbucks one more time this week and spend the $7. It's a reminder of like, whoa, is my daughter seeing me do that instead of putting money away to debt or that trip we have planned or that activity? It has a much bigger impact, I think, when we can realize that, yes, it's important enough for ourselves. There needs to be no other reason other than us. But if you're having a hard time kind of putting those boundaries or that self-respect into place, think of it as the impact that you're having for the other females in your life.
Absolutely. Because, yeah, we are such powerful role models for each other, and especially for the generation coming up behind us. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. There's so much goodness here. I feel like I could just keep peppering you with questions the whole time. This might be a hard question. What is one thing that the listener, wherever they're at in their journey, whether they're like, well, shit, I don't know how to do that at all, or they're like, oh, I've got this in the bag. What's one tip that you would want to leave them with when it comes to facing their financial fears and really digging into managing their money?
I think an exercise your readers would really benefit from is by writing it down. You write down their goals. Don't type it in. I know your generation primarily uses iPhones and tap it in, but there's something that happens. The way the neurons and the information stores, if you were to handwrite it out. So if you literally were to journal, basically have your reader or your listeners write down their goals. Like, what is it that they want to accomplish in their life. And I always like, you know, writing down those goals, not just for money, but maybe spiritual goals, maybe health goals, relationship goals, career goals. And then, so writing clear, and then make a list of those items we talked about, understanding your cash flow, and then your net worth. And that's going to be the beginning of being able to be reflective on it. And then it would be very helpful if they could revisit those notes, ideally, probably to start with, maybe doing it more frequently, but probably no less than once a month. Once you get more in control of those issues, then you can, you know, probably once a quarter, and then maybe a couple times a year. But it's that posting and having some, because it's really empowering. It's really empowering if you have goals like, okay, I want to pay off that debt. I want to save this much towards my Billy's college education. I want to have this much in my retirement. It's really, really empowering when you write it down and you reflect back on it and you're like, oh, I already did it, right? Yeah. And then to celebrate those victories. I call it bringing, you know, sexy back by having, you know, having a date, you know, taking yourself on a date, going on a date, to celebrate those wins. 'Cause they are, I mean, life's a journey. Your money should support you. And, by you posting and planning will help you live on your money life and not in your money life.
I am a huge fan of celebrating our wins, as small as they may be, even if it's simply, for me, a big one is, I actually have this plan for Friday, is my date is taking myself to the beach, leaving the husband and the dogs at home and just going and sitting in the sand by myself. So I love everything that you say. I keep repeating myself with this, but I think there's so much power in celebrating every single piece, because the more that we can celebrate, the more we're building up that confidence in ourselves that, like, okay, I'm doing this. I'm actually doing this. Oh my God, I'm actually doing this. And it builds up that kind of social proof or that evidence that makes it much easier to keep going. It's a positive snowball effect.
Exactly.
So I believe, in addition to the book that you have coming out, which I'm already signed up for the wait list, I'm super pumped for this, you also have a journal that can help people with some of what you've been talking about.
Yeah, if you go to lovemoneyjournal.com, there's a downloadable book. And so there actually is it's a downloadable brochure. It's an exercise that helps the reader do some posting and thinking on their life, because if you don't know where you're going, you're going to end up somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And if you can set your intentions, it's pretty amazing. I mean, I believe if you can lay out your goals that, and you have an ability to post it someplace, I always like posting it like in your bathroom or your closet or your bedroom, someplace you don't, that you'll just have it up. You'll, subconsciously, you will help yourself navigate towards that, because suddenly when you're going to Starbucks, you'll be like, you know, this $7 for this coffee, gosh, I could have a free cup at home and put that $7 towards that debt on my credit card. It's amazing how quickly you can pivot out of some of those patterns that are keeping you back.
Oh my gosh. This was amazing. Like I said, there's so much goodies. I firmly agree with you that my generation is like a electronics generation. As I write entire pages of notes talking to you, but I do agree that there's power in physically seeing it and then making it, plastering it all over the place, putting it in your bathroom, in your closet, on your phone, on the lock screen on your phone, and making it, kind of inundating yourself with it. So it starts to be also subconsciously, you're picking up on like, oh, I don't need this. oh, this is a more important goal. You have so much goodness to share.
Oh, we got to do this again, Chrissy. So I could go on and on. I'm just, I've got some high tech and low tech hacks that have been really successful for so many of our clients. And thank you so much for the opportunity to connect with you here and help your listeners. And I look forward to sharing the Facing Financial Fears with them, those 8 steps to financial freedom for women. I think hopefully it's going to just continue to make a big impact, and you'll have me back. That's my hope.
Yes, you will absolutely be back. I'm so excited that you're my first podcast guest expert. You'll be the first one going out there. And I think that this was really a great start, a great piece to go on, because whether you're an entrepreneur or you're not, money doesn't have to control your life. You get to actually control your money and how it helps you. So thank you so much. I think this was an awesome conversation. I will be including all of the links that you sent me in the show notes. But if you want to repeat one more time for us, how can people connect with you, learn about you, and just have your wisdom in their world?
Yep. Thank you, Chrissy. So my name is Sarah Carlson. Love Money Journal is the my company's name that I've written the book through. So lovemoneyjournal.com. On there, you can go on there. There's a page for signing up to be one of the first to hear about the book launch and get the information on it. And there's also a downloadable book there. And you can also reach me at lovemoneyjournal@gmail.com too. Awesome. So I'm available to help. So
awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, thank you so much. This was an absolutely amazing conversation. It'll go live on Tuesday, and this is going to be awesome. Thank you so much, Sarah. I really appreciate you being here.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you so much, Chrissy. Super fun.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope that you loved what you heard. If you did, be sure to share it with me by leaving a review. This helps me make sure that the great bits keep coming your way. If we aren't already connected on social media, come join my community on Instagram at Chrissy Mellinger, all one word, or visit my website at chrissymellinger.com. On my website, you can sign up for some fun freebies, trainings, and my email list. I can't wait to connect with you on socials, my email list where there's so many surprise goodies, and the next Soulfully Strategic Entrepreneurship podcast episode. In the meantime, go be your amazing self, sunshine. You've got this.